Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As Jesus sat on the mountain and preached the Sermon on the Mount to the many disciples gathered there, he looked like any other teacher. He sounded like any other human teacher, except for the fact that he spoke with such authority that it's as if he weren't just a teacher of God's word, but the author of it. Still, he appeared human. But when he came down from the mountain, he did two miracles, which he would do many of over the course of his ministry, which showed him to be far more than any human. Not just a great teacher or a great man, but true God, an epiphany, a revelation of his hidden divinity. Now, all of Jesus' miracles, especially the healing miracles, showed that he was true God, revealed his hidden divinity. But each miracle and each miracle account also teaches something else about this God, or about us, or about what he wants from us or for us. And it's no different in today's account of the two healings that you heard in the gospel. First, the healing of the leper, and then the healing of the centurion's servant. It shows us not only that Jesus is God with the authority and power to heal, but it shows us his willingness and readiness to help all who come to him for help, whether poor or powerful, whether Jew or Gentile. Let's see how that plays out in today's gospel. A leper, as Luke says, a man full of leprosy, full of those leprous sores all over his skin, all over his body, had heard the word about Jesus, about his kindness and his power. So as soon as Jesus was done preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he came down from the mountain and hears the leper, who finds him, approaches him, kneels down at his feet, and prays the perfect prayer. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There must be something to this miracle account, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record it, and record it with all the same details, the same need, the same prayer, the same reaching out, stretching out his hand and touching the leper, and the same response from Jesus. I am willing. Be cleansed. It's all important. The great faith of the leper who got down on his knees before this man who appeared to be only a man, and yet the leper saw through that to the divinity that was there and confessed Jesus' power to cleanse him without insisting that Jesus just had to cleanse him because he just deserved this miracle from Jesus so much. No, simply, if you are willing, you can. Leaving everything up to Jesus' will and grace. Then Jesus' simple act of reaching out and touching the man is important too. Imagine a filthy, dirty, smelly, diseased person full of open sores kneeling down at your feet. I think we would be tempted to shrink back from such a person. And yet, that's not what Jesus does. He reaches out, and it makes special mention of the fact that he touched him, which you weren't supposed to do with a leprous person in Israel. But here is the clean one, Jesus, the sacred one. And just as in the Old Testament, when something that was clean and holy, a holy vessel, for example, in the tabernacle, touched something that was unholy or unclean, the unclean thing became holy. So too in this case. I was just reading this week in Eusebius's church history for one of my classes at school about a terrible plague that broke out in the city of Alexandria in the mid-200s AD. There was a large group of Christians in Alexandria, and they were affected by the plague just as the pagans there were. But Dionysius, whom Eusebius is quoting, tells how the Christians treated one another in that time of plague and sickness. They didn't shrink back from one another. They didn't stay away so they wouldn't get the plague. They came close to their brothers and sisters in Christ and cared for them and nursed them. And after they died, they would dress them, their dead bodies, and take them out for a proper burial. And many of the Christians who did that also became sick with the plague and eventually died. And that didn't stop them at all. They viewed it as a form of martyrdom, actually, their witness to their love for Christ in their love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And he contrasts it with how the pagans in Alexandria treated their family members and loved ones who got sick. At the first sign of illness, they would stay far, far away from them, not nurse them, not care for them. They abandoned their loved ones, and then when they were half dead, they cast them out into the street. And the contrast between how the pagans treated their loved ones and how Christians treated their own brothers and sisters in Christ couldn't be greater. Now, where did Christians learn such compassion and willingness to help one another? Well, of course, they learned it from Jesus, and specifically from his treatment of the leper in today's gospel. Jesus' verbal response to the leper is just as important. I am willing. Be cleansed. Just this past week, the Green Bay Packers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, was in the news for saying this: I don't know how you can believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the planet to a fiery hell. Mr. Rogers thinks he's referring to the God of the Bible. But honestly, I don't know what Bible he's reading. God doesn't want to condemn anyone to a fiery hell, much less most of the planet. What God wants, what God wills, is our healing, is to forgive us our sins, is to give us heaven as a free gift. And he sent his Son into the world to reveal just that, not only by causing him to suffer on the cross for our sins, but in showing his willingness that wretched sinners be cleansed, not condemned. But there can be no cleansing of the sick if the patient refuses to acknowledge his disease, and if the patient refuses to trust in the doctor for the cure. But the leper in the gospel did trust and was immediately cleansed, as in made physically whole and healthy again. Still, there was another cleansing that still had to happen. Jesus told the man, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, if you read what Moses actually required of a leper who was cleansed of his leprosy back in Leviticus chapter 14, it was quite a process. In fact, one wonders just how many lepers actually went through with the whole process outlined for them, because leprosy, as far as we know, was an incurable disease. So it was probably rare that lepers were cleansed of their leprosy in Old Testament times. But if they did happen to be cleansed and no more sign of their leprosy was visible, they had to shave off all of their hair, including their eyebrows. They had to bathe. They had to dress in a special garment. They had to sit there alone for 7 days. Then they had to go to the priest, who had a very elaborate ritual he was to follow with birds and bulls and water and blood and sprinkling and smearing blood and oil on the earlobes and the thumbs and the big toes of the leper who had been cleansed. It's quite a process. You can read about it in Leviticus 14. The message in all of that was pretty clear. Even a cleansed person still needs the ongoing cleansing of Christ. For example, you all were made clean in holy baptism long ago. Your sins were forgiven there. You were made a child of God, clean in conscience and in status before God. But you weren't just needing the cleansing of baptism. You still carry around a sinful nature. You still need the ongoing cleansing that God provides in the gospel and in the sacrament of the altar. And you still need the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work in your life so that your attitudes and actions become just as clean as your status before God. Now, the leper in our gospel was clean physically after Jesus healed him, but as a Jew who was under the law of Moses, he still had a law of Moses to fulfill, not only because God had commanded it, but also, as Jesus says, a testimony to them, to the priests, as a testimony that Jesus can cleanse what no one else can cleanse, and as a testimony of what Jesus had just gotten done saying up on the mountain in the sermon, that he hadn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So also, no one can come to Jesus for the healing of forgiveness, receive it, and then just go off and turn his back on the rest of the Word of God. When you're forgiven, then you're instructed to walk according to God's commandments. Such was Jesus' treatment of the leper who was a natural son of Israel. What would his treatment be of those who were not natural sons of Israel? We see that in the second part of our gospel. The Roman centurion living in Israel had also heard the word about Jesus and had come to trust in him. His servant was sick, so he came to Jesus for help. "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Notice, he doesn't even ask Jesus to do anything. He just presents the need and then waits. He doesn't have to wait long. Jesus immediately offers his help. "I will come and heal him." Notice the centurion hasn't explained to Jesus how he deserves Jesus' help or offered to pay him such and such an amount if he will come and heal his servant. Jesus is ready and willing to help entirely for free, not on the basis of worthiness, not on the basis of payment, but just out of pure grace. But the centurion has more faith to reveal. He tells Jesus not to come. Not to come, because he, the centurion, isn't worthy to have Jesus come under his roof. It'll be enough if Jesus just speaks a word from right there where he is, because the centurion understands how authority works, as he explains. A commander of an army doesn't have to be even in the room with the troops that he's commanding when he issues an order. He can make an order and then write it down, or tell someone to pass it along, and all those under his command have to obey it. That's how it works with the army. That's also how it works with disease and the human body and nature itself. If God speaks a word, it must happen. So see what the centurion was confessing, that Jesus, this man standing before him, had to be God. If he could just give a command and all of nature, even a human body miles and miles away, had to obey. Now, Jesus was astonished by the faith of this Gentile man who had never even met Jesus, as far as we know. His faith had simply come from hearing the word of Jesus' willingness and readiness to help. And it was a faith so firm and so great that Jesus says he hadn't found a faith so great even in Israel. And he speaks the word the centurion sought and heals the man's servant immediately. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. Again, tying his miracle, tying his work to the faith that has been created in the heart of the supplicant. He shows that he's ready and willing to help anyone who comes to him for help, who believes in him for help, whether poor or powerful, whether Jew or Gentile. Now, there's a final lesson that Jesus teaches here, and the world had better listen. I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As Jesus reveals his hidden divinity in all of these miracles, he reveals the awesome significance of it too. If Jesus is God, then Jesus is the one who determines who sits with him at his heavenly banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If Jesus is God, then you must believe in him. And all who do, whether Jew or Gentile, will sit at that heavenly banquet with him. But all who don't believe in him will find themselves locked outside, cast out into outer darkness, even if they started out as members of his kingdom, as the original sons of Israel did, the Jewish people. So as God reveals himself to you again today as the one who is ready and willing to help, be sure you don't foolishly stay away from him or doubt his word or disbelieve his willingness and his ability to help, to cleanse, to forgive, to save, and to sanctify. The truth about Jesus is exactly what you see from him in today's gospel, where he shows himself to be the very God of Psalm 46, for example, the God who is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.